The new album's just about to hit the street.
Yes. Is that how it's starting now?
And so far, I think the reaction from those that have heard it's really good.
Yeah, well, it's just starting to filter through at this point in time, so it usually takes the best part of 1 to 2 months for it to come out. But the initial reactions, I haven't seen a single negative comment, which normally you get your handful at this point in time. That's just natural. But the reactions have been amazing. We're always being blessed with very good reviews in Eden's Curse, and I think it's important never to read too much into them. But in terms of this album, that's slightly different because it's your live performance. You know, you're a wee bit more under the microscope than you normally have been. So how do you hold up? So that's been a new one, even from just taking the tapes home and listening to the tapes as the producer going, oh God, here we go. And being more than surprised, and because I've been telling people this, and they go, "Never thought about that. This is the first time I've ever heard Eden's Curse live." I'm not blessed to be on the stage and in front of the stage to feel the full power of what it sounds like when it's mixed and coming through.
Mm.
So for me to hear it back, it's like, it actually sound pretty good.
Yeah. And do you think having heard that now, do you think that might change the way you go about doing live shows?
I think every live show makes you. What's the best way to describe this? I think if you're on a process of continuous improvement as a band and a musician, always should be. Yes, you will take elements here and there and trying to improve on it. And you know, more so, Dave, you'll know yourself, having attended our show in Bolton, you know, there's things that go wrong for you on the night. You know, how can you take lessons out of each of those things that go wrong on tour, and how can you improve on it and stop it happening next time? So that's more from that side of things, from a technical aspect. I think in terms of a band performing and playing together, you get better the more that you do it. You become more familiar of where each other stands on the stage. What does Nicola do when he's finished singing and it's like a solo? Does TK come to the middle? Does Nick go for a drink? And it gives you, you know, you're not just performing. You don't get that obviously in a double CD release as opposed to a live DVD, for example.
No.
You can hear the crowd interaction. You can hear the audience G'ing up in certain sections, and Nicola have been quite vocal. So
yeah,
there's certainly points out of it that we take, and I mean, we're really pleased with the way it flowed as a show as well, and that actually was the only editing that we really had to do on it, because you know, being a live recording, you're finishing the song and you're walking back to the kit, and it's just a look at John and a look at everybody, no problems, right, go. And that takes slightly longer than a normal show would do.
Yes.
Because you're just trying to get a nod of approval. But you know, this show went so well that we actually forgot the tapes were running about halfway through it. We got down the stairs to dressing room, and the guy from the recording company came running down and said, do you need to recut in? Shit, we're recording. Forgot all about that. So that was testament to the crowd making us feel at ease and just having a great time up there.
The reaction that I saw on social media and things like that was really good, very positive from everybody. And I know the Coalspell guys had a great time. You know, they thoroughly enjoyed themselves, and that says a lot about the crowd that you'd got there as well. I think. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the crowd were clearly there for a good time. And you mentioned the very limited amount of editing that you'd done. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite live albums is Live and Dangerous, which I suppose is not a secret anymore that there was an awful lot of post production went on that.
Yeah.
And yet, to me, I don't care. I still love that album because it feels how I would want that show to be a memory.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you to say, oh, well, pretty much that was it. You know, we just chopped a bit of the gaps out and that was it. That to me is really very impressive.
Yeah, we did several things in terms of actual production planning. I mean, a lot of thought, this wasn't just stick a note in the calendar and go and do it. You know, we involved Dennis once we knew Dennis was going to mix it, as if there would be any other guy, in my opinion.
Well, I'm hardly surprised.
Yeah. Well, it was hugely important to us that he's been the guy that's you know been helping us create our sound from day dot.
Mm.
And I think you know him and I have got such a good working relationship that I've said to him we'll only disappear if you tell us to off. You know.
Yeah.
And that's good because it allows him to do a lot more for us than he normally would, you know, because he knows we're coming back for more work and we've got a great relationship.
Yes.
You know? As soon as we got that day, Dennis and I had several production meetings on, like, what tips can you give? You know, you don't work with someone who's recorded umpteen live albums, and especially some of the, you know, CDs that are sitting in my collection of Angra Live, the new Crocus. In fact, the beauty of it, when we came to mix, this was his fourth live album mix in a row, would you believe?
Wow.
So he said, it's great, all my kit's set up for live, I'm in the live frame of mind. And he said, so it's just perfect timing by the time it dropped on his lap. He gave a lot of great advice in terms of drum mic placement, what he wanted. He asked for special mics to go above John's head to catch some stuff. Out of the norm mics I'm talking about here, I'm not talking about just anything.
No.
Seeing a live environment, he wanted certain placements in the kick drums. One of the best things that he did out of it was advice that he gave us on miking up the amplifiers for the guitar. So we basically used two separate microphones on it, and we also took a third lead out of direct out of the back of the amp before it goes into distortion. So effectively we're getting the Hank Marvin of Thorsten's guitar and my bass. Of course the bass is not overly coloured
yeah.
in terms of what goes in. And that allowed us that, so it depends on how big a stage you're playing, how good the recording is. There's so many things that can go wrong. But that gave us the flexibility to say, right, here's the three guitar sounds, here's let's say it's a Shure microphone. How good does that sound? That's okay, it's quite muddy. What about the Sennheiser? Oh, that's a little bit brighter, maybe too bright. And then here's the completely third option, which is actually what we use. So we took that clean. So this essentially is exactly what Thorsten played on the night, and he plugged it into a Marshall amp in his studio and got a better signal. And one of the things that he noticed when he was turning the guitars up on the microphones, that the right cymbals were getting louder because they were right next to the guitar. So that allowed us to not have to overdub the performance, but get an even cleaner guitar sound, because it's clean is what it sounds like. If you've got all that noise and crossover, and that's the beauty. If you were recording at Donington or Sweden Rock, you've got 13 feet of
you run away between each other. Yeah,
absolutely. So that was a massive difference for us, because there was things that were going with the guitar. What's wrong? There's a frequency coming through the guitar on that mic, and that was great. And we ended up actually using a blend of all three, if truth be told. And the guitar sound was absolutely killer, but the performances on the night helped in terms of, we were really worried about, here's a 90-minute set, we would love to do a double CD and get those tapes back to think, right, does everything make it? And have Dennis come back saying, yeah, everything makes it. In my opinion, you take a look as a producer. And, you know, there's errors on there, you know, from a musician side. There's some of the guitar chords go out of tune at the end of songs. That's fine. That happens in the night. John actually snaps a drumstick on the snare drum in the middle of Masquerade Ball, which you might not be able to pick out. But we said, fuck it, it's live. Let's keep it.
Yeah.
And that for us was the important part of it.
I've always preferred live recordings. I think as a guitar player, you sort of hear different ways of playing stuff. And I think that's probably why I like them. I very rarely hear the mistakes in a live one. Because maybe it's the musician in me or whatever. You go, well, it happens. And a lot of people wouldn't spot it anyway. But I think sound-wise, it's amazing. I think it really is a great, great record. I mean, it was one of those I was thinking, oh, I know how good the studio albums are.
But how does it come out?
But how's this one going to sound?